is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 466. I'm Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by Nick Cubed.
Nick to the third power!
You're listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3 Hornsby. We stream this live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
You're not a loser.
It is Wednesday, May 23rd. On the show today, not only are we Nick Cubed,
Nick to the third power,
but we're Shep Squared.
Shep Squared!
Because we are joined by Lee Sheps, and she's going to talk to us. We're going to all have a lively discussion about the Tonys. And then later on, we're going to talk to Tilt Performance Group and their show Backstage. And of course, we're going to have, as you can see, a lively discussion of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Dallas, and parts beyond. Okay, I'm just going to fade out during the tap section, during the tap break. Hello? Y'all there? Yeah, you have to talk. Radio is a medium.
I thought you were still talking. That's
what I was saying. No, radio is a medium in which you talk.
Parts Beyond was a new city.
It is. So let me just very quickly check in with Nick Cubed.
Nick to the third power!
So what do you guys have? Well, so we should explain what Nick Cubed is all about. We are joined. You've heard him here on the show before. He's been a guest on the telephone, and we've talked about him quite a bit. Mr. Nick Westrate, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had.
I put the cube in Nick Cubed.
You did. You put the cube in the sha-la-la-la-la. So how are you guys? Nick Mayo and Nicole Shiro.
Doing good. Doing good. Nicole, how are
doing
you?
Good. I'm all right.
Yeah. You're all right. Okay.
Lisa, how are you? What's going on with
hot.
You?
The same old, same old. It's a bit warm. I voted yesterday.
Congratulations.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
Did everybody else vote in this primary?
Yes.
Okay, we got one Lupe Valdez that's going to challenge. First of all, the opinions and views expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not those of the station, the board of directors, or the staff. It's just me.
Yay, Lupe.
And I think a Democrat should win. There you go.
Absolutely. The first female Democratic candidate for governor in quite some time.
Right. And openly lesbian. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So GLBTQRLMNOP.
Awesome. I think Ann Richards would approve.
Yeah, she would approve.
See?
On the phone, we have Lee Sheps, who is a senior digital reporter for Inside Edition and a contributor not only to Entertainment Tonight, but to BroadwayWorld.com. And most important, her last name is the best last name in the universe. Hey, Lee.
Hey, it certainly is.
So you put the squared in Sheps.
We talked about this last time. Maybe people are watching from that last conversation that we had.
I'm sure they are. Let me introduce the other folks that are here. We have Adam Roberts. Hi,
Lisa
Adam.
Sheps, how are you?
Good. It's good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
And we have Kristen Gooch. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Lisa.
Let me. Okay, say that again. That was a. Give it a second try.
Hi, Lisa.
There you go.
There
okay.
you are.
Yay. Well, we have Leon here, who knows everything Broadway. Nick Westrate, who knows everything Broadway. Nick Mayo, who knows everything Broadway. And Nicole Shiro, who knows everything Broadway. So we're going to just discuss the Tony Awards. Hey, Lee, have you seen every nominee out there?
No. I think there were 30 new shows that opened this year, so that's potentially 30 shows that could be nominated. I think I maybe saw one-third of those shows. Couldn't get to all of it, unfortunately.
So nominations notwithstanding, did you have a favorite?
Did I have a favorite? Well, I have been recommending all season for everyone to go see The Band's Visit and SpongeBob.
Yeah, well, you know it's going to win.
What'd you say?
It's going to win.
Which one?
The Band's Visit. and Katrina Link and Tony Shalhoub.
The front runner. Tony Shalhoub is great. I actually went to a big press event before the show even started on Broadway. It was at the Strand Library in New York City, and they played some songs from the show, and I interviewed Tony Shalhoub at that event. And here he is now nominated for Best Leading Actor in a Musical. So, you know, if you read that New York, I think you guys discussed it already, the New York Times predictions, who will win, who should win. And, you know, they did pick Tony Shalhoub.
We did predict that. We did talk about that. And I think you're right. And did you happen to see the Tiny Desk concert with the band's visit?
No, I did not. The one on NPR?
Nick Westray gave us a nod of...
Yeah, it was pretty extraordinary.
It's pretty amazing.
I think it shows what's so special about that show is the intimacy of that show and how it can translate onto a big Broadway stage or an off-Broadway house. I saw Katrina Link perform from the show at the Obies last year. David Cromer is such a versatile director, and that show fits in any space you put it in. It's a really cool concert. I think you can check it out online, the Tiny Desk series.
You can, actually. I just saw it yesterday or the day before, and it is... it's an 18-minute concert. They play three numbers, and it is beautiful. And Katrina Link is there. Tony Shalhoub is there.
It's the first musical to do this. It's on my list of things to watch. I did see that going around. But, you know, the show is just so captivating. And if the people who don't know, it's about this Egyptian band who gets lost in Israel, and it's about the community welcoming these strangers into their homes and what happens throughout the course of the night. Ariel Stachel, he's nominated for Best Featured Actor in a Musical. This is his Broadway debut. Very excited for him.
Does he play the telephone guy?
What's that?
Does he play the telephone guy?
No, that's not him. He's the one who is Chet Baker, and he plays the... I'm drawing a blank as to the instrument that he plays, but he's got a powerful song, and he's Middle Eastern American, so he, you know, this is a big deal for him to be on the show, and he's getting a lot of accolades, and a lot of people, you know, are applauding him, and grateful that he's on Broadway, bringing awareness to his ethnicity on Broadway.
Absolutely. Who here and on the telephone has seen the movie of the band's visit? Anybody?
Raising hands.
We have a couple of hands raised. Have you seen the new movie, Lee?
No.
Yeah, it's no, I did well, not. The movie, you would, after, I just wonder the person that said, hey, this would make a great musical, because no clue when you look at it. So you liked the band's visit. Do you have a pick or a personal favorite for best revival?
Oh my gosh. Well, I loved all the revivals. And I think it's either going to be, I don't know, it could be any of them. It could be Once on This Island, which is getting such accolades for the staging and the set and the costume designs. It could be My Fair Lady for that beautiful staging at Lincoln Center. And Carousel, oh my gosh, the choreography for that show was unbelievable. And Jesse Mueller and Joshua Henry in Lindsay Mendez in those performances. I think most of the leads in that show were nominated. But Lauren Ambrose in My Fair Lady, she was wonderful. Hayley Kugler nominated for Once on This Island. She was fantastic. I really don't know which one it's going to be. And my favorites, Carousel, I just adored. And I had never seen it on stage. And I had never seen any of those shows on stage.
So you were not so some of us, I'm not speaking for myself. Yes, I am. Are Carousel haters?
Kristen Gooch is not.
Really? Oh. You don't like Carousel?
I'm not a big fan.
Oh my goodness.
Shocking.
Not a big fan of Carousel.
You know, me neither.
The music is unbelievable. Just listening to that score and those famous songs like If I Loved You. And you know, coming up, it's going to be June. So we're going to be singing June is Busting Out All Over. You know, we're going to be singing that.
Zinga dinga 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 dee. Those are the original lyrics.
So, Kristen, you're a Carousel fan?
I am a Carousel fan. I love that song, You'll Never Walk Alone.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Rodgers and Hammerstein, it doesn't get any better than that. And Justin Peck is nominated for his choreography. He's like 30 years old. This is his first Broadway show that he choreographed. He's from the New York City Ballet. And it's just beautiful, beautiful dancing on that stage. And
so, Lee, what would your bet be if you were betting on this? What would you think for best revival?
If I had to bet? Oh, no. Well, I think I might go to Carousel.
Interesting.
I don't know.
It's going to be My Fair Lady.
It's going to be Once on This Island.
It's going to be Once on This Island.
I watched a cool piece on My Fair Lady this weekend, and I'd seen some, but to really check out the scenery with all the color tones and see long pieces of scenes, it was really fascinating.
It's just such an odd moment to have Carousel and My Fair Lady in this Me Too era, these two very problematic plays towards women.
And I have not seen either of these productions, but from everything I'm reading, they handled that very well.
But you mean you can handle it well, and at the same time, it's like it's deeply marrowed in the piece that you can navigate it. But I think I agree with Nick. It's interesting why tell these stories now, other than the fact like Bartlett Sher does beautiful, sweeping, wonderful revivals, and Lincoln Center is devoted to its classic material, and there's no one like Jack O'Brien than to like. Take a big sweeping musical. It's just very interesting.
Well, you're just hating on those two because you want Once on This Island to win.
Yep.
I will say that Once on This Island.
Full disclosure. We're also, it was interesting that you were talking about how young Justin Peck is. The designer of Once on This Island, Dane Laffrey, is 34, and this is only his third Broadway show, and that set is incredible.
Yeah, and I spoke to Dane Laffrey for an interview for Broadway Direct with his sets. And, you know, for those people who haven't seen the show, there's water on stage, it rains on stage, there's a huge truck on stage, and the sand, it's unbelievable. You sit down in the theater in the round, and if you're in the first row, you're literally sitting on sand. And then at one point during the show, the sand is somehow, like, they remove the sand, and then there's carpet and ground on the stage, not to ruin it for everybody, but it's just phenomenal how they do this, and they keep having to replenish the sand every few weeks. And then how they got the sand into the theater is a whole nother story, but it's really remarkable.
You liked that design? Do you think your money's on that for best set design? he says as he lays it on thick.
Yeah, but you know what? But SpongeBob SquarePants, David Zinn, he also has an amazing set because it's just so colorful and bright, and you're transformed literally at the Palace Theater into like underground. And it's just, you know, it's more of like a traditional Broadway stage for SpongeBob SquarePants as opposed to Once on This Island.
My money is on David Zinn for costumes and then Dane Laffrey for sets. That's my thing. I love David Zinn too.
Well, it's a good thing we're having this conversation because Tony voters listen to this show. And I'm sure we're like, because it's that week where we're swaying
really,
the vote.
They're all tuning in to hear what we have to say.
So what about...
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Lee, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's, you know, I'm already biting my nails because I'm wondering who's going to win. And I just think, you know, there's some great scenic designs, costumes. I think it's a great year this year.
Do you have any opinions about straight plays?
Oh,
specifically
Potter,
the ones that are nominated.
Harry Potter, duh.
Did you get to see it?
Yeah, I did see it. I did, and it is the most remarkable thing. It's phenomenal, the show. There is so much, you know, you have to keep the secrets when you go, so I can't even reveal anything.
No, you can't keep the secret.
But the magic on stage, you will never see a Broadway show like this in your life.
Nick, did you see it? It sounds like you've seen it.
I did see it. Yeah, it's really extraordinary. And the actors who came over from the UK are really great, too. And I think it's going to run forever and be a huge place. It's kind of a musical for straight actors. You know, it's going to run for years. And straight theater actors who don't sing, but who can move to that great choreography and that great John Tiffany staging are going to have jobs for decades in that play.
Yeah. They renovated that theater specifically. And just a side note on it is that the street, 43rd Street, all those restaurants are going to, you know, be longstanding there.
Oh, yeah, that Eve Haru 43rd. Restaurant across the street there.
But I just have to correct you. I don't mean to be rude, but it's pronounced Harry Potter.
That's pretty good.
Lee, could
pretty
you give good. That? Could you give us the proper pronunciation, please?
I'm sorry.
Could you give?
I appreciate it. Thank you. I just didn't want you to be embarrassed when you were like having drinks at Sardi's and talking about it.
It's called cultural appropriation.
I'll brush up.
All right, Harry Potter. How do we feel? Is it going to be angels or three tall women?
Oh, Angels in America.
Really?
That is going to, I think it's going to be Angels in America. I did not see either production.
Or Iceman. I think only Iceman could take down Angels in America.
Well, it, you know, they say it cometh.
George Wolf's direction of that is really extraordinary.
What is interesting about this season, I want to point out, is that the shows were so long this year. Angels in America is harder, which is 7 hours. Harry Potter is 2 parts, 5 hours. Iceman Cometh is 4 hours. And I think Three Tall Women is also a pretty lengthy show run.
Adam, you just got back from New York. What did you see when you were there?
I saw Perestroika. And it was fantastic. It was 4 hours, just that part, the second part, two intermissions.
Yeah.
As well, we know that that's Angels in America.
Well, remember, I mean, this is more. Once upon a time, most plays were 3 to 4 mm-hmm, hours, mm-hmm. And it's just as we've gotten limited attention spans, have
in
we
a far
said
far off time
in a far off time in Harry Potter's
place,
world,
you would sit for hours.
That's true. But everybody's also saying wonderful things about Lobby Hero. Just saying.
Lobby Hero. I don't think that Lobby Hero will win.
No. I think pretty well we could take a vote here and probably be with you. So, Adam, did you just see Perestroika? I can't pronounce it.
Yes, just that part, just the second part.
But did you see anything else or just that show?
Just that show.
Okay, well,
just
thanks for being on the show.
It was a quick trip.
Kristen, have you been to New York?
No, I haven't been.
You must go.
I know. I'd love to go someday. I'm not sure how accessible it would be, but
very
accessible. Well, I wouldn't throw very around. I'd say it's accessible.
Okay.
But getting better.
Good to know.
So let's see. I also want to get your opinion about Bruce Springsteen.
Oh my gosh, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Well, one, he's getting a Tony Award this year.
Yes, he is.
Two,
he's getting a special award.
Two. He wasn't eligible. He could have won for Best Leading Actor, or nominated, I should say, for Best Leading Actor of a musical, and he could have been nominated for Best Musical, but he didn't allow the Tony voters to come in to see the show, so he wasn't eligible. But they are giving him a special Tony Award, and I think that is something certainly to watch for this year, because will Bruce Springsteen perform at the Tony Awards, and if he does, what time is that going to be? Because my guess is going to be closer to 11 towards the show, because they're going to keep teasing him throughout the show.
It's too bad that the Springsteen on Broadway wasn't produced by Scott Rudin. We'd have lots of interesting things going on. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Nobody's with me on that one.
Nobody's willing to go on the record about that one.
We like our legs.
I'll just get started on
that. Is Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen is another one of the shows I unfortunately did not have the opportunity to see. But again, I think I saw as many as I could. But
they're also
from
what I understand, Springsteen isn't giving a lot of tickets to press, so they're being very tight with the yes, Nick Westrate.
I also hear that Glenda Jackson is going to replace him when he and so I'm just going to wait for that one.
Oh my God, that's the best news about Springsteen on Broadway I've heard.
Donna Murphy is going to do it on Tuesday night.
This year is an interesting year because it's the year of the big brand box office draw.
Yes,
you know, there's Frozen, Harry Potter, Mean Girls, SpongeBob, and all these shows, as we know, are huge pop culture phenomenons. You know, not a lot of original material on stage this year.
Well, great. Well, do you have any parting words around the Tonys or anything else that you want to talk about or how wonderful I am?
Oh, my gosh, Lisa, so wonderful. you know what? I think also what we want to talk about is we have the host this year.
Yes. We have not discussed that on our show yet.
Yeah.
I have an opinion. What do you think?
Josh Groban. I wonder if they'll do like a musical montage, whether they'll be funny, what types of jokes they're going
to
make.
They're going to have to.
You know, I'm interested to see the dynamic between the two of them and how they'll carry the show.
Well, you don't think of them as a very yucky kind of duo. But we'll see.
They're not Billy Crystal.
No. Or Neil Patrick Harris.
So, Lee, I have a question. If one were to be playing a drinking game during the Tonys, what word would you have our listeners look out for to take shots on? So if one were to be playing a drinking game.
Not that we drink.
Yeah. What's going to be the key word this year?
Oh, that's a good one. Let me think about it for a minute as I spit out some words. Mean Girl, Tina Fey.
Yes.
Maybe Tina Fey.
I think Tina Fey is a good one.
I'm going to say jokes about wands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time there's a joke about a wand, you have to take a drink.
You know what? I think. Also, go ahead.
I also think maybe Hamilton will still be one of those words where that'll be said a million times.
Hamilton or Lin-Manuel, something around that. Well, great. Thank you so much for joining us again on Backstage or on Offstage and on the Air. You are welcome back any time.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's so fun to chat with you guys.
Awesome. Well, that was Lee Shepp. She's a senior digital reporter of Inside Edition, a contributor to BroadwayWorld.com and Entertainment Tonight. She does some wonderful videos on YouTube, and you can check those all out, called Up With The Curtain, where, and she just hung up, so I'm sorry she didn't. I wanted her to explain. It's Up With The Curtain or something like that, and she says it's where the curtain goes sideways. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but that's where my hard-hitting journalism was going to come in. So one thing I didn't say when we were going in, we had started a few weeks ago playing our interstitial music from Tony nominees. We did Mean Girls today. We are doing SpongeBob, and we heard I'm Not a Loser from SpongeBob, and we're going to go to break listening to Hero Is My Middle Name. From SpongeBob.
It's two SpongeBob.
SpongeBob. We'll be right back.
SquarePants.
If the world is gonna end tomorrow.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Elisa Sheps and Nick Cubed.
Nick to the third power.
And we were also talking to Sheps Squared. Sheps Squared.
Squared.
Join us as always. As well was Kristen Gooch and Adam Roberts, and we're going to switch gears. And Nick Mayo is going to take his interviewer hat off and put on his interviewee hat.
You want to hear the sound of it coming off?
Please
do it.
That is his universal sound effect. That is his sound effect for absolutely everything. But I would like to welcome from Tilt Performance Group, Nick Mayo.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
How are you? And artistic director, Adam Roberts.
Hey, Lisa.
And performer and company member, Kristen Gooch.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
You are quite welcome. So we were talking before the show, or actually as we started the show, Nick was giving you direction, and I said, Kristen's been on the show before, and you said no, and I find that surprising.
Yeah,
I thought for sure you had.
No, not on.
Because you hate me?
No, not at all. Because I haven't been invited.
Well, I think you should talk to Adam Roberts about that. And offline, you know, we discussed offline. Our feelings about Adam Roberts before the show started. Okay. So this show is called Backstage. Nick, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Well, Backstage is a. This is our second initiative with Tilt Performance Group of Backstage. We did one last spring that was a sort of view into the rehearsal process. So our patrons could come and see our actors in the rehearsal process and kind of a craft-centered piece. So it's kind of like a peek
a
behind.
A CCP.
Yes, CCP. That's what we call them, CCPs. Yeah. And so this Backstage is a devised piece of theater where we asked our cast to come to the table asking the question, why do we tell stories and why is it important for a culture to continue to tell stories? So we devised a piece of theater. Over the past 8 weeks, we've been meeting in small groups and large groups. And this is a piece of theater that is created by this company members for these company members to share with the community about the importance of storytelling and why we tell stories.
And the Tilt company is rather large. How many company members are part of this performance, Adam?
11?
11 in this performance, mm-hmm. yeah. I think yeah. we have about 25 or so company members on the roster now, though.
Okay. Whoa, yeah, you really have grown a whole bunch. Yeah. That is jazzy to you, sir.
That's awesome.
And Kristen, you've been a member from the beginning, I believe, or very close to the beginning.
Close to the beginning. This is my 9th production with Tilt. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty exciting.
And so I'm assuming that all the performers are performing their own devised piece.
Yes.
And so can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing?
Hmm. What I'm going to be doing, well, there's some group ensembles that involve the whole cast, but I'm in 2 different skits, and one of them I play kind of, it's a guy going in for a job interview, and my character, Kimberly Middleton, she really doesn't care about her job. She's kind of a dingbat, and so it'll come across as, hey, we all know what it feels like not to be understood or to feel like no one's listening to us. But not to spoil anything, you will find out in the end that she does have a heart. She really does. She's just
not. Spoiler alert.
And just to build off of what Kristen was saying, is these conversations all came from writing sessions we had. And this was actually came from a conversation within our company members about what it's like to be a differently abled actor or differently abled person going in for a job interview. So all these things came from conversations we had about that and job coaches and
and then the second one that I'm in, I play kind of the underdog, which is an actress who's very passionate about theater. She's very passionate about performing, but she doesn't seem to be getting cast. And there's an actor in there played by our own Jessica McCallick, who in real life is one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. But her character in this show, oh my God, she's obnoxious. We came up with, just how to make her really obnoxious and how to make my character
less so.
Right.
What's her obnoxious name?
Her obnoxious name, we were trying to figure out one, and Nick suggested Penny. And I said, okay, well, you got to come up with some absurd spelling of it. So one of our actors, Boy, pipes up and goes, P-E-N-K-N-E-E. And I said, oh, my God, yes, we have to use that. And she's going to refer to herself as Penny with a K.
There you go. I love that. I love that.
We
By the way,
fun.
My sorority name in college. So it just so happens. And so tell us, and one of you, tell us about some of the other performances that we will see when we go see it.
Well, it's really, the narrative is tied between the idea of celebrating 3 aspects. We focus on employment, the relationship, and the stories we tell ourselves around employment. The things we tell, stories we tell ourselves that pounce around in our head about ourselves. And then the third one is, so there's employment, there's self, and then there's community. So there's these 3 different aspects of where we tell stories and how they're either helping or hindering us as individuals, as an artist. And they're tied together through individual toasts and celebrations of each other as a cast, and the actors themselves stepping forward and telling their truth of why it's important for them to tell stories and why they choose theater and why they choose this art form as a catalyst to tell stories. Awesome. So it's really cool. It's a cool piece, and it's created by the entire cast, and I've been blown away with what they've been able to do. And Tilt Performance Group is, for those of you who
we're gonna talk about Tilt Performance Group when we come back from our little tangent that we're gonna go off on right here. But yes, I do want to discuss that, and I was gonna discuss that with Adam when we come back. During the break, I asked Kristen to come up with a number or to choose a number between 1 or 2 and 52. Do you remember what you chose?
I chose number 7.
Number 7. Let's see what that is.
Hi, I'm Holland Taylor, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
Holland Taylor, good choice.
Yes.
That's it.
Some Holland.
Very good choice. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we were talking about Tilt Performance Group, which has been on this show several times.
That's right.
But you guys have a special mission. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. So Tilt was co-founded by Gail Dalrymple and Robert Pearson and myself. 4 years ago now. We're almost to our fifth anniversary season. It doesn't seem possible. And the mission of Tilt is really to provide a theater company where actors with disabilities are paid to create, devise, and perform both original and pre-scripted material. And this is a special production for us because it's actually the first time we've had a full production that we've been able to bring in a guest director. And Nick, obviously.
Yay,
like
Nick.
The sad eyeball right? You gave him in the studio.
Nick to the yes, first power.
That's right, that's right. So about a year ago, Gail and I were looking at some grant opportunities from the National Endowment for the Arts. And one of those grant opportunities was geared toward providing marginalized populations with theatrical opportunities. And one of the things that you could propose to use that grant funding for was to have a guest artist come in and work with the company in a very intimate way. And so I said, I know just the person who I think would be perfect to do that if he's available. And I knew he would be very willing. And so we're just thrilled that we were able to get that $10,000 grant from the NEA and bring Nick in to be part of this process.
Awesome. Well, I love the work you do, and I love the work all of you do. I just have to boast on Kristen for a little bit. Y'all did a show in our theater
yes.
a couple of years ago, and Kristen played the funniest characters. And I have pictures of her when you played the
She-Mouse from
the She-Mouse, and also funny. The thing you did with Toby. That was absurdly wonderful.
The Godot spin-off.
Piece. Oh my yeah. God, you guys were wonderful.
Well, if you liked them in that, Toby and Kristen are paired up again in backstage.
Yes.
They have a great synergy.
They're a good group. They're the Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn.
What a compliment.
Oh my gosh, that is so flattering. Thank you. Don't tell me that. Thank you.
It's absolutely true. So this is being done at a Baptist church.
Mm-hmm. Highland Park Highland, Baptist Church.
Trying to go by memory and it didn't
up on balconies in Northwest Hills.
Uh-huh. And is it done? And do they have a theater there? Are you creating a space? How's this working?
They have a flexible space, as many churches do, that sort of functions as a social hall, but also has a stage and has been made accessible for this particular production.
They had a beautiful, beautiful ramp designed and brought in. By a friend of ours, Frank Cortez, who is, I think, going to be a wonderful addition to the Tilt mm-hmm. family.
Yes.
To make that space accessible for our actors.
That's awesome. Pretty awesome.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yes, it's so much fun to go down it, too.
Do they have to get you off the ramp because you're over there having too much fun?
I don't know. They were lenient, you know. For listeners out there, I do use manual wheelchair for mobility. They were looked a little hesitant about letting me go down the ramp by myself. I can't get myself up it. But I was like, Gail, can I just try it? And so they let me try it. I got down it.
And now she's popping wheelies.
What did you turn around and say?
I turned around, I looked at Nick, and I said, that was fun.
Very evil Knievel.
That's right.
So I'm guessing then there's like a 4-foot stage. It's a relatively high stage. Very, you need to build a ramp to get up there. Well, I think that's great that y'all did that, and a shame at the same time that you had to do that.
Yes.
But we are, you know, hopefully as the world progresses, we start to become more and more accessible.
Yes.
I also do want to say that Christian's father has been outside, and he's been sort of looming out, looking at the window. So I just want to make sure we give a shout out
to
Steve.
Yeah, Steve.
As he walks out the door.
Perfect. Perfect timing for Lisa Sheps, per usual.
We were talking to Steve. That was funny.
Every time. Well, you know what the whole key to comedy is, right? All right. Well, thank you guys for coming on the show. Nick, thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thank you. It's a joy to be here.
And Adam, I love having you here. And Kristen, you have to come back now. God's sakes. I thought you had been here all a bunch. Okay. But I feel like you have. There you go. So that was Nick Mayo, Adam Roberts, and Kristen Gooch of Tilt Performance Group's production of Backstage. The one thing I didn't ask you guys, and I should, even though I know the information, you're opening when and you're closing when?
We open on Friday.
That's the 25th.
And we close on the 2nd.
Tickets at tiltperformance.org.
Yes. That's where you can get all the information that you might want. So once again, Tilt Performance Group, their show Backstage is at Highland Park Baptist Church on Balcones Drive. Opens the 25th of this month, closes on June 2nd. For more information, tiltperformance.org. We'll be right back.
We tell the story.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
Nick Squared!
To the third power!
But we had so a third power! Nick Cube.
So it is always chaotic here as people leave, and nobody wants to
we call it
go back
fun.
On the air. It
fun,
is fun.
Fun, fun.
Here's what I'm going to ask you guys to do. Discuss some local stuff you need to do. I need to get a special guest on the
The final weekend.
Hold on just a second. I just need to stop here. Our special guest... I don't need to call anymore because she just arrived. I'm sorry to have cut you off.
Don't.
When in reality, I probably didn't cut you off.
No, you didn't at all.
Crazy, crazy thing. I want to introduce Rebecca Havemeyer. Havemeyer.
Havemeyer.
Havemeyer.
Havemeyer. Like Havemeyer.
Am I introducing you, Rebecca?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Never know.
I know I look strange.
I never know who I'm talking to.
I left my hair at home. I'm just wearing a wrap on my head today, and you know the glasses do good for the sunshine.
It's funny. I was just about to pick up the phone to call you, and we must have been on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I was trying to do the machinery and get to you via the email machine, and you know everybody these days is overbooked. Overworked over everything themselves since January or since that maniac took office, and everybody's losing their mind. So
I should remind folks that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not that necessarily of this radio station.
Oh no.
The staff.
Oh, Coop knows what I'm doing. Yeah, Coop is used to this old rag coming in.
Shoot, we are. Well, listen, you're here to talk about something very specific. What are you here to talk about?
Well, this is I'm here to celebrate our first jointure.
We're jointuring.
I'm very excited to say that I'm going to be presenting new work at the Ground Floor Theater, which is where Lisa likes to hide out in the dark and wait for you. There's a brand new show. And all my years in Austin, I've never ever in my life done a one woman show. Handsome voice.
I find that hard to believe, actually.
I do too. You know, many friends, I don't like to write for myself, and there's this man named Paul Swaller who I don't, he's all right, and he writes for me sometimes. I've had to kick him around for about 12 years now to write me a dang show, and he's come to help me out, and it's this one woman show, and I called in the power of Carrie Atwood, another wonderful actor and writer in town. We've created a piece. It's a beautiful work in progress, as they say, which means
WIP.
Not
RIP.
Not RIP. That's after the show's over. That's when the critics start talking, and I tell them where to go. And this is a show called Winky.
Winky.
And, yeah, Winky. And it ain't a dirty kind of Winky. It's a pigeon. There's a pigeon in my life now named Winky. And the show is about me and the relationship I'm having with my bird named Winky.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I looked up Winky on the internet and I got an Urban Dictionary definition.
I hope you didn't hit the images button.
I did not.
Because you can't erase what you see when you do that. Lord, I did it and I nearly fell on the floor and lost my good leg. It was rough up in there. But
I would hate for you to lose your good leg.
I would hate for your theater to lose its reputation.
That ship has sailed, dear.
Yeah, this is exciting. We're usually bouncing around doing Christmas show caravans and hosting things, and I just wanted to sit down and give y'all a really strong dose of Rebecca for a good, you know.
Well, we're glad, and this is a workshop, so we're expecting to see a lot more of this piece.
Yes, I plan on bringing it in through Austin again, starting in, what's next year, 2019,
which would be for some of us,
if we make it, RIP, and we're gonna be rolling it through again, and we want to see how it hits you. It could slap you like a dead fish. It could cuddle you like a little baby on this ride.
So I don't think I have to ask this question. Well, two questions that I don't think I need to ask. suitable for the kiddos?
Yes, absolutely suitable.
Awesome. Okay, that's good.
There's a little bit of, like, I might say that. H-E double hockey stick word or something like that. I don't know if I can say that on coop without an alarm going off. But, you know, the lawnmower after me. Like Leatherface up in here.
And the other thing is, I'm guessing I'm going to laugh a lot when I see this.
Oh, I do. If you ain't laughing at what I'm saying, you're sure as heck going to be laughing at what I'm doing. and wearing, or I don't know, but I do tend to make the kids laugh when I get out in front of them.
That is super, super great. We only have just a few minutes left for you.
Yeah. Let's tell them when it is, man.
We tell them when it is.
next week.
That's your job.
Yeah, next week, May 30th, May 31st, and June 1st, right after Memorial Day weekend when you need to calm it down. Come. It's a good place at the Ground Floor Theater, May 30th, 31st, June 1st. Can I say the time on Coop? Will they arrest me?
They will, but go ahead.
8 o'clock on the 30th, 8 o'clock on the 31st, two shows on the 1st. Come watch the train wreck. There's a 7 o'clock and there's a 10 o'clock. So that's early evenings for all the people who are foolish enough to have children.
At 10 o'clock, the train will wreck.
It will wreck.
So, yeah, well, the good news is about the cops is since we thought you were on the phone, we did not alert the officials.
That's okay. I got off the road quick. Pulled my wagon over.
Well, Rebecca, thanks so much for stopping by. And I cannot wait to see the show.
I'm excited.
And, I know you've been working really, really hard on it. And junk like that.
I will do.
All right. You're welcome to stick around and sit and continue to chat with us if you want to talk.
I'm just going to use your toilet.
And please do. So, everybody, that is Rebecca Havemeyer and Winky, the 30th through the 1st, four shows only. You can get information at groundfloortheater.org. I was going to talk, and I didn't print it. It didn't print. So some of the other local stuff I want to talk about was Genentech, who does a lot of work with gender nonconforming folks, is doing a production of Carmen, which looks really interesting.
Dun, 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 yum,
did anyone go see Theater on Block's new show?
I did.
The Secretary?
Cry It Out. No, Secretary was...
No, Cry It Out. Sorry. Yeah, Cry It Out. Sorry.
Yes, I saw it. Didn't we talk about it last week on the show?
Amnesia.
I think we did. And the performances were amazing. Great. Lietti was great. Jenny Lavery was great. Ben Wolf was great. And Kristen, I can't remember her last name, also great.
Awesome.
Did you see it?
I didn't. I wanted to see it. We've just been in dueling, conflicting schedules.
Nick Westray, did you see it?
I did not. I don't live here, so I don't get to see anything.
Well, why is that? We can't be blamed for that.
You can't be. No, I don't expect you to be.
Let's do the Today in Theater History.
Today in Theater History.
Theater History.
In what?
Theater History.
What?
Theater History. To the third power.
I'm glad we amuse ourselves if no one else is amused.
Back in 1904, The Southerners is a musical with a black composer named Will Marion Cook. It's the very first time an entire black chorus is used in a show with a white cast. I believe we've done...
1904? I feel like we've talked about
that. I believe
that
we have. Yep. Lead Eddie Leonard appeared in blackface. Speaking of blackface, and so another thing that we should talk about, a possibility to do in the town, on Sunday I went to the Harry Ransom Center and saw their exhibit on, not burlesque, what was before burlesque? Vaudeville, thank you.
The vaudeville exhibit is right now.
It's pretty interesting. They do a lot of talking about minstrel shows and blackface and
and that horrible part of our history.
Did you like the exhibit? It was well done?
I did like the exhibit. They also had their part of the permanent exhibit was a lot of the stuff from Best Little Whorehouse 1 and 2. And interestingly enough, when I was looking through the cast list on Best Little Whorehouse 2, they in the small cast, so the ensemble, was one Casey Nicola.
Interesting.
Yeah, wow. Thought that was interesting. Casey Nicola, for those that don't know, directed Book of Mormon. He's currently represented on Broadway with Mean Girls. And he's done a few other things, too.
Something Rotten.
Something Rotten, which I loved.
Which
what a fun
was so
show.
Great, I know.
In 1921, Shuffle Along was at the 63rd Street Music Hall. And Shuffle Along, as everybody knows, was sort of reprised again 2 years ago with Shuffle Along or The Making of the Musical Sensation of 1921 and all
that. Did you see that, Nick?
I did, yeah.
Was it marvelous?
It was incredible. I mean, it's again directed by George Wolfe, who I was talking about earlier, who is one of my favorite directors ever. But I also saw it when Audra was 7 months pregnant.
I was like, the fact that she was like singing right and end. Kicking and dancing and that pregnant.
I went backstage afterwards and she said, I'm so sorry, but I'm good. I have to stay sitting down. They wheeled her to her car. They were like, I tap so much in the show that they don't even let me walk around backstage. They wheeled her into a car.
I can't even believe she was tapping at that 7 months pregnant.
But that baby is happy and healthy and good.
Singing
so,
and dancing.
You know, maybe tapping is good for pregnancy.
Well, we have
science.
We have always said here on the show that if Audra McDonald works really hard, she might do something
she
with
might.
Herself.
She might.
She's got potential.
She's
potential,
got some
right?
potential, as we say. And she, of course, was in that show. We're going to jump all the way to 2000. David Ackburn's Proof opens at Manhattan Theater Club with Larry Brigman, Joanna Day, Ben Sankman, and Mary Louise Parker. And
wow, I can't believe that was 2000. It seems
somebody's going to tell me why that show is great because I don't buy it.
Those performances were really great. And Joanna
well,
Day
Well, but the
is,
show won the Pulitzer. The play won the Pulitzer. Yeah. I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Cerebral time.
But Joanna Day is opening tonight off-Broadway in A Prayer for Mary Frances, also starring the great Lois Smith.
Designed by a certain Dane Laffrey.
Yes. But it's a great production, also starring J. Smith Cameron. But Lois Smith is one of our real American treasures in the theater. So happy opening to them.
Awesome.
That would be today in theater history also.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true.
And then 2016, Hadestown opened off-Broadway at the New York Theater Workshop. And, of course, it went again to go... I forgot where it played, D.C. or
I think it
somewhere
was
out of town. With our one Patrick Page, amongst others. Mm-hmm. And the music sounds fun with that one. Have you seen it, Nick?
I have. I think it's going to go to London, and then I think they're going to try to bring it to the Great White Way.
I believe they
in
are.
In 19.
It is the birthday of Douglas Fairbanks and Joan Collins. Amongst others. And before we take a little break, we'll go a little bit of a different direction. Nick, I want to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the work that you're doing around fair wage and the work you're doing with the union and making sure that off-Broadway performers and even, I don't know whether you're working in special contracts and special appearance contracts and some of the other touring contracts that are just kind of miserable. Can you tell us about the work that you're doing to make them less miserable?
I work on committees in the union, but also we have a grassroots organization called Fair Wage on Stage, which is just is aiming to change the conversation around compensation, that this isn't a hobby for anybody. It's a full-time job. We're highly skilled professionals and deserve to be paid as such. There's a mythology about the starving artist or, you know, the poor artist and that we'll do it for nothing when a lot of these theaters have who have the money to pay us are so used to us doing it for free that they like to keep that tradition going because it keeps the bottom line low. So it's not always, you know, no one's doing it maliciously. It's become a tradition to underpay artists. And we're just trying to turn that around. So we're going to be at the TCG conference in St. Louis on June 13th and 14th, and we're going to be talking, continuing that conversation with artistic directors and managing directors, and we really have moved the conversation across the country to talk about compensation in regional theaters and small professional theaters in Portland and Seattle and San Francisco and Atlanta and Austin and Dallas, all across the country.
It's important, right? Right now here in this town is a performing artist. You cannot make a living.
You cannot.
And we are trying to change that. When I first moved here 15 years ago, it was just understood that actors didn't get paid, even though designers and the creative staff tended to get paid, although not a lot. And that just has changed. Now all actors are getting paid pretty much, but not a lot. And we have to change that. As someone who runs a theater, mm-hmm. I'm working really hard to change that. It's not easy to do.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, like, as someone who serves on the board of your theater, I'm proud to be a part of conversations and proud to work with organizations that, like Nick said, want to be a part of this conversation. Yeah. Because until we embrace this conversation, we will never as a city be able to hold on to artists.
Have you found that... I mean, I know how people are responding in New York, but when you leave New York, are you finding other states and cities and organizations and theaters being responsive to this? Or
well, each city has a different set of problems and set of challenges,
right,
and a set of assets that are different. So what we do, we throw these like kind of pub nights for actors in different cities around the country, and we just start with them. We start doing something we call blue sky dreaming, where we just sit around with a whiteboard and say, like, if these contracts were perfect, what would happen? Mm-hmm. You know, because that's different in Chicago than Minneapolis.
Right, that's why I'm wondering, like, how different. Is the feel?
And that, you know, we've come up with a couple good ideas. Like, we have one that we call judge it by the budget. You look at a theater's overall financial health versus just how much they're dealing in ticket sales. Because right, traditionally, ticket sales have defined our compensation when a lot of these theaters are getting things from in-kind grants and donations and things like that.
Buildings being made to...
Yeah, and so we also have to change the conversation with funding. We've started that conversation with Bill de Blasio in New York and his administration and the city council. How do we change arts funding to value workers as much as real estate?
Absolutely. That's it's absolutely really, really important. Mm-hmm. And it's important just to value, to understand that everything has value. And for too long, the performance leg of our business has been trod upon. Yeah. Simply because of that, because you think it's an honor to get the job
and
do
it for free. It's our value. It's about knowing our own worth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know someone said that to me once at a first rehearsal. A board member congratulated me on the job, and I looked at her and I said, congratulations to you.
For getting me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we're going to take a little break and come right back and just wrap up with a couple of other little items. So this is something from Shuffle Along, the original.
What?
Everybody thinks I'm crazy.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Cubed.
Nick to the third power!
Ooh, I love the dissonant underneath that.
The dissonant was great. Whatever that means, I loved it. I want to talk just about a couple more things before there's only one thing I think we're going to have time to talk about. Did you see this article about a production of Big Fish at the Pittsburgh Community Theater?
Yes.
No.
Shame on them.
Shame.
So tell me.
Whoa. It was a production of Big Fish, and as part of the ensemble, the director had a same-sex couple make a cross holding hands. And the theater objected to it because it was showing a lifestyle they didn't approve of. And the director refused to take it out.
Where is this?
And they ended up cutting Pittsburgh.
What theater in Pittsburgh?
Oh, yeah, go kick some A.
that would have been the Pittsburgh Community Theater.
Right.
Oh.
At the Palisade Playhouse.
Yeah. So they ended up canceling the whole show. And part of the creators, the production, said this. This week we learned an upcoming production of Big Fish at the Palisades Playhouse Pittsburgh has been canceled over a disagreement between the director and the theater. Specifically, the director planned to include a same-sex couple as part of the background action during the song Stranger. And then they go on that I'm going to read this. In defending their decision, the theater argues that the script did not include any reference to LGBT+ community. So because the script didn't say specifically, of course, I must say, I don't believe they said anything about opposite sex couples.
Yeah, I wonder if the script said that the background was all cis, hetero couples in the background.
I wanted to make sure we talked about this.
The one statement they said, though, the notion of thinking bigger is something Big Fish's hero, Edward Bloom, would have certainly endorsed.
Yes.
After all, his friends include a giant, a witch, and a werewolf.
I mean, hello.
Those were all cis hetero werewolves.
Yes.
It's very werewolfy normative.
That's just got mermaids in it. There's nothing gayer than mermaids.
Yeah, but family friendly shouldn't be ignoring reality. Yeah. I mean,
anyway, I just wanted to make sure I had that so people can read. This will all be linked on our site, offstageonair.com. That Tiny Desk concert is also a link on our site. Also, things that we didn't get to, things like the Gwen Verdon documentary is coming
so
up.
So excited.
Link on our site for a teaser for that. But Nick, to the third power, I'm so happy you guys were all here.
I know, you're never allowed to leave there, Nick.
Thank you for having me impromptu. I wasn't even scheduled to come.
Doesn't matter.
You are welcome at any time.
Always welcome.
Throughout, if you find yourself here, even without Nick Mayo, you can come.
See, there you go.
There you go. So that's it. Remember, there's no backstage at Offstage today, so none of that will be happening.
That's Scandal with a capital S.
That's big S Scandal. So a little teaser for tomorrow. We will be talking to folks from, what's the show? At Bass? Just totally lost the name of it.
An American in Paris.
Paris.
En français, en Paris?
Oui. So make sure you tune in for...
Les Américains en Paris?
Oui.
Oui.
Oui, comment non?
Si.
Yeah. So that's it. So remember, get us on Stitcher, Facebook. Go to offstageonair.com to get the podcast. You want to listen to it?
Yeah,
I know Nick Westrate gets it and listens to it in New York City.
I do.
You just get delivered to his mailbox.
Just shows up in my podcast.
So we're going to go out with probably one of the more popular songs from Once on This... not Once on This Island. Sorry, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Your favorite
Pants.
Musical.
I had Once on This Island last week and I cut and pasted and didn't do it. And I forgot the name of it, but...
I think you're playing Bikini Bottom Day,
it's
right?
It's Bikini Bottom Day. Here it is.
Jump out of bed, mix up a breakfast for my favorite pet snails.